Good morning, church. We'll try that again. Are we alive? Good morning, church. You may have to kick me up a little bit. We'll see how that works. We have a special Sunday coming up, and that's why things will be moving about here. But to do that, I want to just say, when I first came here, I was a little caught off guard by the family prayer time. To me, things had you get rolling, they've got some good songs going, you've got the communion, and who doesn't want that, and also, quiet. And I'm looking over at my wife, she'd been here before, so she wasn't looking back, she was all right with it, and I'm thinking, what's going on? Somebody needs to be saying something. You know, we drove here for the show, and this is too early for an intermission. And I actually took it to the shepherds a few times, saying, and I say a few times because I'm a slow learner, saying, can we do something with this? And every time I did, it was as if I had slapped an apostle. They, no, this is important. It took me a while to see that this church is wrapped around prayer. Like some churches are wrapped around personalities or combat or who gets to choose the songs or whatever. This song is wrapped around prayer. They just love prayer. Prayer saturates everything they do. They get together early in the morning to pray. They pray in the evening. They pray with these blue cards. They pray around. Prayer is what this church, prayer is what gives this church its character and its direction. The scripture says this. Peter, the first gospel sermon, we always called it, in Acts chapter 2, addresses the crowd. He didn't clear his throat first, pretty sure. He was younger than I am, too. Anyway, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The things which happen at this church happen because people prayed first, and then they prayed during it, and then they prayed after it. One of the things, I don't dance. It's pretty obvious if you've ever seen me move at all that I shouldn't even try. But I have talked to people who dance, and they talk about how you have to read the partner. It's a mutual give and take the whole way. Prayer is that being in touch with our partner, the one who leads us in this dance we call life. Now, there are a couple of people up here behind me. Now, if you're visitors, you may not know the Hewitts, but we all know the Hewitts, and we deeply love them. Would you please welcome Beth and Bill Hewitt? Now, one of the things that you're very comfortable, I can tell. You're terrified. That's all right. Someone asked me if I would go speak anywhere, and I said, not where they have gravel lots, because impromptu stonings are too easy. But we are paved, and you are good, and you are loved. One of the things that I love about this church is I get to stay in my lane. I get to do what I do. And I had people come up to me, and they said, what's that thing in our lobby, in the foyer? And I'm saying, I don't know. I don't go there. I can't. By the time I get into here, people stop me. And they'll say, but it's a wall. And I'm going, really? I wasn't concerned. It took me maybe 3 weeks to go out and look at it and go, oh, that's what that is. They said, Bill Hewitt did it. I said, I don't doubt you. That looks like something Bill and Beth Hewitt would do. And that has been used so much, a prayer wall there. Then people came to me and they said, what's going on out front? I don't know. And they'd look at me like, aren't you supposed to know? No. And if I am, I have failed and am comfortable within that failure envelope. Once again, the Hewitts were at work. So, I'm going to talk to them for a bit. I'm going to address this to you, Beth, about where'd this vision for a prayer cross, prayer wall, what are we calling it? Is there one of those designations?
I think we're calling it the prayer wall, right?
The prayer wall. Okay.
No, not my lane.
Tell me about the genesis of this.
Late summer, Melinda called and she said, I need to come and talk to you. And two things that you probably know about Melinda, if you don't, you need to watch out. You can't say no, and whatever she asks you to do will change your life. And so she asked if we would be part of the prayer committee for the Capitol campaign. And we said, well, we wouldn't pray for money, but we would pray for the Holy Spirit. And she said, well, that's funny. Everybody I asked to be on this committee said the same thing. And so when I say we, it's the Boffmans, the Shenicks, the Andersons, the Simmons, the Blackwells, and us. Did I forget anybody else? Okay. So she and I just started brainstorming, and you know, I just told her, I'm a visual person. I need something to remind me. I love to pray, but I will admit I'm not faithful to prayer every day. I get caught up in too many things. So we both started talking about what that would look like, and we realized that we were both talking about a wall. And so she said, but how can we build a wall? And I said, well, that's above my pay grade, but I do know someone who could build the wall for us. And I think up lots of things for him to build. So when we went to him, he was, you know, he sort of rolled his eyes like, what's coming now? But we did convince him to do that. And one thing I want to say about the praying that went on during the Capitol campaign, we prayed hard into the Holy Spirit. And we asked God to show us through whatever way he wanted to show us. And we had dreams and visions and words and scriptures and songs that just, none of us had one piece, had all the pieces. We each had a piece, and they fed into one another. And we realized even people outside of our group were calling and saying, I had this dream, and I'm supposed to tell you about it. And it would affirm what we were praying. So we knew the wall had to be built. And so that's where it started.
Excellent. Now, the next question I have written down here is to Bill, and it says, how did you get involved? But I, she's sitting right there. So
said yes.
Yeah, he said yes. Well, talk to me, because you actually even did some drawing during a sermon. It's all right.
Okay. What I like to acknowledge first is there's one creator, and he gives to each of us the ability to create.
That's absolutely.
And how Jesus has given me a special portion, I think, sometimes on how to do things. I can see them within my head. Getting them out of my head sometimes is a problem. On a plane to Portland, Oregon, I took the cover off a book and turned it over and drew the little first little drawing because I had time to slow down. I had to sit still for a while. That's the other problem I have. We're so busy that I don't have time to sit and think a lot. So that's where the little drawing began, and then I had to develop it into a full-scale drawing and present it to the city of Franklin to get their approval before we could do things outside because we're in this historic district. Being in this historic district, I wanted it to be old. I wanted it to look the part, to bring age to the property. One gentleman here, Brother Buttry, he called it the Federal Reserve Building. So I wanted to make our Federal Reserve Building much more inviting and much more lovely. And God just put things together in a way that, I know why it's happening, but it's kind of unusual. The old fence you see out there, it's from the 1830s to 1850s. Somewhere in that range is when that thing was built. It was in a junkyard over in East Nashville before the flood, and this lady friend of mine bought it and was keeping it, and it was just kind of thrown down behind her son's garage, and I just asked her one day, could I have it? I had a place for it. She gave it to me, so I knew where it was going. The rock in the wall are just very unusual, some of them. Some of them come from the hills of Arkansas, where this old man on the front row here is sitting, just right near where he grew up. So that's very special. Coral rock or the in the middle for the cross, that was found here just south of here at Santa Fe, Tennessee. It was buried 8 foot deep under other limestone. And this fellow mines rock for sale, and he found this layer of stone. And it's supposed to be, I looked up this morning, he said 100 million years ago, there was a sea that covered this land. Everything in that cross was alive at one time. It's now stone. And it just kind of really humbles me to think the thought that God knew that long ago that this old boy would make a cross of that stone.
Wow. That's you can applaud anytime you want to. That's pretty cool. Hey.
Let's see, it's anything. The landscape is just to make it inviting, to make it a pleasure to come to church, to feel like this is where I belong. This is a nice place to be.
And it is. And it's this. There are stories that went along during the building of this. And before I ask you your story, Lauren, where are you, the D? Over here. Can you come tell your story? And then she's asked Tony if you would lead a prayer after her story. So is that correct? Did I get that right? Okay.
I'm going to take this out because I move around a little bit. I had a friend come by one morning, and we had gone on a long walk. She was really struggling with a lot of things. It had been and has been a rough season for her, and we talked a little bit on the walk and came back, and I was like, hey, let me come show you this cool thing that's just been built in the church, right outside the church building. It's a prayer wall. And she was like, yeah, cool. Like, I'll come look at it. It was very casual. And we walked over, and she was just very taken aback at its beauty. And she was like, I gotta put a prayer in the wall. I was like, yeah, that's great. That's what it's for. Let's do it. So she gets some paper and a pen, and she goes to write on my back. You know, you can, like, write on someone. You can put a sheet of paper on someone's back. And I'm, like, sticky and sweaty from our walk. And she's like, okay, no. And then she puts the paper up on the wall, but it's literally rocky and jagged, and you can't really write on that part. And that was her second option. And some of you won't be able to see me, but then she knelt down. And she kneels down because there's this section right on the bottom of the prayer wall of the rock where you can write. That was her only option. And she's sitting there and she's writing. And I step back and look, and she's kneeling literally at the foot of the cross, writing this prayer. And she just gets lost in prayer. And she was there for a lot longer than I think she even knows she was there for. Kneeling and praying at the foot of this cross as she's writing what she originally just wanted to stick in this wall. And I was thinking earlier as we were singing about kneeling, we sing a lot about kneeling and we talk about kneeling in prayer, but if I'm being honest, I very rarely ever kneel down to pray. I kind of think this is one of those things that maybe we do a lot of talking about that we don't actually do. But the thought process of kneeling down, it is uncomfortable. Like, this is not a comfortable position. Like, my knees just cracked as I came down and knelt. It's not a comfortable position. But there's something that is, just as we sang earlier, that's sweetly broken about it. Sweetly broken and humbling to kneel in prayer, especially on a rocky surface at a cross. Something so humbling to think about any type of pain or brokenness. And I love that we sing that song, and that's what really hit me earlier as we were singing that song, sweetly broken and surrender. Very rarely do we put our bodies in a physical position that represents that. But kneeling in prayer does that. And getting to watch her, it was not her desire at first or second. But then third, she was put into this kneeling position of prayer.
I had no intention of asking you to do this or for me to do it, as a matter of fact, but I think I'm going to get on my knees and pray. So if you want to join me, you can, but if you don't, you can stay where you are, whatever the Lord leads you. Father, let your ears be attentive and your eyes be open to the prayers of your people. Father, today is a culmination of many years of prayer. Father, in the Old Testament, a wall was a sign of protection for its people, and it was also a sign of strength for their gods. So, Father, today we offer up this prayer wall to you as a sign of strength for your people, a sign of protection for us. Father, it is our sign of our belief in the power of prayer. And Father, it is our sign of our belief and our faith in you. Father, in Matthew 6, Jesus said, when you pray. So, Father, you are calling us into a relationship with you. You want us to talk to you, and you want to talk to us. And, Father, we believe that when we talk to you, that you will hear and answer our prayers. And in Matthew 7, Father, you say, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. So, Father, this prayer wall is an indication that the people of Fourth Avenue will keep on asking. We will keep on seeking. We will keep on knocking. And, Father, we know that you will open the storehouses of heaven and bless us in ways that we cannot imagine. And, Father, I pray that this wall is also a protector of our church and of our community. And Father, only you know how far you can take this, and a protector of our world. Father, this is something that you have designed, that you have foreseen, that you have made. I know the hearts of Bill and Beth, and they want no glory from this, Father. They want you to receive all the glory, honor, and praise. And we, Father, we just pray that you are high and lifted up, that when anyone comes by the church at Fourth Avenue, that they will see you living in us. And we offer this up in the holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now, because there's so many stories and we're already starting to run out of time, so we're going to compress. We may have to do a part two one day down the road. There are other stories, but I wanted to ask about the bench and why the bench is there.
Gillies, they'll come to me one morning or call me, I can't remember which, and said he had a Jewish friend that was began to use the wall, but his Jewish friend was so well known, he would be standing there and people would interrupt his prayers. So he asked for a bench behind the wall. So I come up with a little personal-like bench that sits behind the wall. So if anybody wants to have the private moment like he did, that it's there for their use.
That is so cool. That is so cool. Beth, there are also, I've just put down here for Bill, were there any other moments? But if you have any moments to share, or if not, talk to us about what. Where do you see God using the wall? How do you see him doing it? Or whatever you want to say. You're a free woman in Christ. Go for it.
These are the prayers that have been taken out of the wall, and we aren't sure yet whether we're supposed to read them or not, but we are praying over them on our Wednesday night, Wayne's Wednesday night prayer time. We passed the bag around, and each of us held on to it and prayed over it. The Blue Card Ministry prayed at the wall last Wednesday night. Our small prayer team prayed there Monday morning. So we really want to see people use it. We want to encourage our churches in Franklin. We struggle with each other sometimes, and part of that's our fault. But we want them to write down. We want them to come and help us dedicate our wall. We want them to write down what their struggles with us are. And then we want to bury it under the wall, sort of like a time capsule. So 50 years from now, when they dig it up and they read, this group didn't like this group or thought we were the only ones going to heaven, that they would think that absurd. They would be like, but there's so much unity among our churches today. You know, my hope, and this is just my hope, we talked with Hewitt Sawyers, which is the pastor at West Harpeth. I would love us to be so unified that he calls Patrick and says, one of our sisters just found out she has cancer. Will you all pray today in your service for her? That would be how connected our churches are. I think that it's a stone of remembrance. You put that prayer in the wall for your marriage, for your sick child, for your dying spouse, and years later you come back and you look at that and you go, I prayed for that marriage. I asked God to heal that child. And it's going to be that remembrance, that memorial to what he did in our lives. And it's not about Fourth Avenue. It's about God. He is the stone of remembrance. He is the stone that helps us.
It's wonderfully said. Bill, do you have something that you would just burst if you didn't have a chance to save?
Oh, the one thing that God put in my head in doing this is kind of like what Beth says. We need to unite together as a group of people, not just in this room, but to all the churches within our community, join together for good against one enemy, and just believe that we all, I think it's a matter of time now. I think we don't have a lot of time as we watch our world decay, especially the U.S., that we need to really gather together for good.
Let's say amen. Well, before we go much further in a bit, we were going to wrap this up, and just giving you a heads up, we're going to have Melinda come forward. She's going to start the prayer, and then we're going to have you close us in prayer. Before that happens, though, Gary, do you, just as a token of we love you and we see what you are doing here, he made a photograph and a, what would you call that then, just a canvas of the wall so that they would have that. They are not, they're not sending this at you. I know you feel uncomfortable. They're doing that at the Jesus in you. And that's legitimate, and that's worth doing. All right?
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm going to let you ease off if you can walk, unless you have something else you want to do. Because, I mean, you got microphones. I don't give those out just willy-nilly, you know. It takes all kinds. Before we turn, and by the way, if you need to share a story before you go, please do that. You'll be free. It does take all kinds. I can remember when I first saw it, I got to confess this, Bill. I would thought, well, that's very nice. And some people were with me, and they said, tell me about this. And immediately I started looking at the rocks and going, all right, these are fossils of this, and these are fossils of this. And I was going into the fossils. And then they said, but what do you do at it? I went, oh, people pray as well as looking at fossils. But it is a blessing to have people. I need to get out of their way, so I'm going to step down here in front, okay? And that little smile. While I'm here, I've got a few more things I'd like to say. Now, it takes all kinds, and this church comes together, holds hands, loves each other enough. But look at these people. We keep growing, and other people hear of the love of God. I'm going to hand this over to Melinda and then to our brother Albert, who is one of our treasures.
Let's pray together. Father, we have seen you at work in ways that we really can't even wrap our heads around yet. But what we do know, Father, is we are not orphans sitting outside the gates of the city waiting for scraps. You have called us sons and daughters. You have put a feast before us and set us at your table. And God, we just want you to awaken us, awaken this church body, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And God, even in these days, we believe that this is a time of restitution for your people. That in the courts of heaven, you have judged and you have shown mercy. And that all that the enemy has stolen from us, you will return 10 times over. Whether you've stolen our relationships, whether he's stolen our peace, Father, we know that this is the time of refreshing for your people, Father. And in the words of your prophet Habakkuk, he says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Renew them in our day, in our time. Make them known. Awaken us, Father. Don't leave us behind with this outpouring of your grace. We receive the oil of your favor this morning, Father, over this body. Whatever you desire to do over this body, we invite you now. In Jesus' name.
Holy God, our Reverend Father, from the first breath of inspiration that says you created the heavens and the earth, we do not know how long you and the angels had your existence until something happened and you turned your attention from the celestial realm to the terrestrial. But this earth had been around here a long, long, long time. And for all the millions and millions of years, as we look at time, this ball, this sphere, this planet existed. There were things, there were creation, your hand was being seen. Father, you know I've traveled on every continent but Australia and Antarctica, and I'm an amateur geologist, but I love to look at the rocks, and I check them. You didn't put the fossils in there to fool us. They've been there a long time, and they show your praise and your glory. But when you choose to bring out of the unseen realm into the visible a reality, we call that faith. We also call it a miracle. And Father, the stones that you have created, they're gifts that you have given to men and women. 200 or 300 years ago, a great sculptor saw in a block of marble the face of an angel. Bill, in that flight, had this in his mind. You gave him this vision before he ever knew those stones came from many, many feet under limestone. So, God, I believe that before you created Adam, that you placed this face in the ground, and that all these thousands and thousands of years, even 2,000 years this side of Jesus, you caused it to be unearthed and placed in Bill's hands and placed in this front. There is a face in these stones, Father, that you placed there before you created Adam or time. And we honor you, we give praise and glory to you. And so this is a unique place. This is a unique that visitors from all over the world in years to come can visit this place, even as our officers in this city right now are encouraging people to do. It was our Lord who came to Jerusalem and
was being scolded by the Pharisees that his disciples were making such a noise over it. And he says, if I keep them from doing that, the stones will cry out. We believe that this stone that lay for thousands and thousands of years, deep beneath limestone above it, it had a voice. And it's crying out, and it'll be there. It's for people to see. We offer this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ.